There's this viral video of a woman in Indonesia, and it's trending because she managed to get her nose ring caught in the back of an office chair.
Oh, no.
Right. So she's just stuck, and it wasn't pretty. Let's just say that.
What are you doing sniffing that chair? I have so many questions, but okay.
And all I kept thinking about is like the dumbest way you got hurt. Everybody's got a story about it. They were doing the simplest of things, mm-hmm. and they severely hurt themselves.
Yeah, in our first house, our last house, my wife and I, we had a massive garage. It was a two-car garage, but it was also deep, and then it had a loft where you would take, you know, a ladder stairs up to the second floor. But somehow, every winter, Anna, I would manage to pack that thing so full of nonsense. Tools, overflow from the house, boxes you were throwing out from recycling or whatever. My wife hated it. She would not step foot in that garage. I went out there one time and I actually pulled a hamstring stepping over debris that I had, because I would stick one little car in there and then everything around it. And I actually pulled a hamstring while in there. And then because my leg hurt so much, I fell over and fell onto, I had an air hammer, and that thing stabbed me in the leg.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had the immediate bruising and mark from the air hammer. It didn't like shoot through my leg. It wasn't hooked up at that moment. Luckily,
right.
Still not fun to land on.
No.
But for 2 weeks, I couldn't walk right because of that hamstring.
That's awful.
Yeah. I left that garage just like that all the way until like March, April.
I was thinking about it. I have two incidences that pop out in my head. I was teaching fitness classes, and for the dumbest way you've injured yourself, and I always try to make moves that should just be easy, more fun.
Okay.
So instead of just doing a jump squat, which is exactly what it sounds like when you jump up in the air and then you come down and you go into a squat.
Textbook.
Right. I decided that we should do leprechaun jump squats.
What is that exactly?
A leprechaun jump squat is when you jump up and you click your heels in between. So it adds an element of, you know, you got to get your legs up, but you click your heels. Like, you know how you see a leprechaun and they just click their heels, right?
I would imagine so. You need to get higher in general. Right.
So we were doing leprechaun jumps because I'm a fool. And I come down. Everybody else in the class had no problem. I tore my ACL and my meniscus. Ended up with a massive surgery. Took me out for 2 years.
Classic overachiever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Bad result.
But I don't know if that was the dumbest. One time we came home from the bars when we were in college and we set up a slip and slide at 4 a.m. outside that went down into a bush area.
Yeah.
And I pulled a Coors Light bottle out of my thigh. That involved 7 stitches. So that might be the dumbest thing I ever did.
That's the winner.
Yep. Having a birthday party for your child can be stressful, but bringing your kids to their classmates' birthday parties can also bring anxiety, Raven.
Yeah, I would understand that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you're a mom or a dad and you know the feeling, the Saturdays and Sundays are packed from parties, 10 to 2, 1 to 3, 2 to 4.
It's always smack in the middle of the day.
In 2 hours.
It rearranges everything. Sugar rush when you drop them off. Are they going to be fine? Are they going to make friends? Are they going to get in the car crying? You have no idea.
Well, not even that. It's like, is it going to be at the trampoline park today? Is it going to be the art place? Mm-hmm. Is it at their house? You know, it's always kind of the same rinse and routine. But there's a woman that's gone viral because she has a plan. And she has a plan so that people don't feel like they need to stay to the end and that they can leave at any time they want. And this is what it is.
Any parents out there who are doing a child's birthday party, about to give you a revolutionary tip. Do the birthday cake at the beginning of the party. I've just been at a birthday party where they did this and it made all the difference. Because not only is there none of that awkward standing around at the end, there's also no leftover cake.
Do the cake first and then let the kids go crazy, because there's a few reasons for it. One, they can burn off all the energy from the sugar of the cake.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps them, and you know that they're going to be fired up at that point, right? So moods are good.
A lot of times,
moods are good.
The parents stay, right? Because for whatever reason, we'll get to that. And no parents ever eat the cake. No, thank you. But if they're standing there for hours,
yes,
they'll have a piece of cake. Into hour two, they'll be like, all right, well, I got to do something. Let me just get myself a piece of this cake.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's only so long that you can resist that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it makes sense. It starts things off with a bang, too.
And,
it's like, whoa!
And people don't feel the need that they have to stay the whole time if they can't. So
yeah.
If, you know, an hour into the party, they really need to go grocery shopping and their son is having a breakdown, you say, all right, let's wrap it up. We already have the cake. Let's get out of here.
Time to go.
But it's interesting because birthday parties essentially have, for the most part, the same routine. You show up, you do the activity.
Mm-hmm.
You eat the pizza or whatever food. Sometimes it's chicken nuggets.
Right.
Then you play a little bit more. Then it's cake time. The cake is symbolizing we are in the home stretch.
it's time to go wrap it up.
Nope. You finish a cake.
Uh-huh.
What signifies the end of the party is when the party bags come out.
Yeah.
When the party bags come out and mom stands there getting ready to hand them out, it's wrap it up. This party's over.
I like the party bags by the door and they just, you know, like you've got them underneath something. Mm-hmm. And then so when it's that time of the party, you just... You like pull it off and it's like, whoa. And then everybody's starting gate and they're running to the parking lot.
So I always think like the most awkward part of going to these kids' birthday parties is sometimes like you have to stay when they're not drop off and making conversation with the other parents because they're already all in cliques. They already know each other. And then you have to infiltrate. Otherwise, you're just a weirdo mom standing in a corner on her phone.
Sadly.
Which I've been many, many times. Many, many times.
Yeah.
So I figure if we could just make every birthday party drop off starting at age 6 months, that would be convenient. Give the party bags at the beginning. Forget that, you know, do the cake at the beginning too if you want. But if you give the party bags at the beginning, then the kid doesn't get upset that they didn't get the party bag. And you don't have to be the weirdo mom being like, hey, I have to leave early. Can I get that party bag?
Where's that gift bag?
Yeah.
Right. What's in there? I need that. Yeah.
And I certainly do not endorse drinking at children's birthday parties, but I went to a birthday party last Saturday that was from 4 to 6, and it was a Saturday night 4 to 6, and I walked in, and it was at a tennis place.
Football games going on.
Mom said to me, there's White Claws in the fridge right there. They were playing tennis. I said, oh!
Right.
All of a sudden.
You didn't refuse. All of a sudden, your moral compass was changed.
I was playing tennis, too. It was like... It was a birthday party for all of us.
Right, right. Yeah. Imagine cake when you walked in, too, with that White Claw.
Perfect.
Perfect.
What is the most unnecessary but super expensive thing that's in your house? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. There's a list of the top three things. And when I saw number one, I'm like, yeah, that pans out.
You know, here's the thing, Anna. Sometimes you just got to put the pinky out and splurge and treat yourself.
I guess. Okay. All right. Number three on the list. We'll do the top three. Mm-hmm. Musical instruments. I always see when you see like somebody that's got a big grand old piano, I'm like, that probably costs a lot of money. How often do they actually sit at it and play?
Yeah. Well, you know, a piano. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, my grandfather-in-law, he's got guitars, like so many guitars. And each one of these guitars could be worth like $3,000.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Number two, collections. These are unnecessary things that cost a lot of money in your house. So I have my Beanie Baby collection, which one day will help me retire. Yeah. Again, I have three Princess Diana. Not that I'm bragging or anything, but just so you know.
It didn't cost you a lot, though. Well, just self-respect and dignity while you're continuing to hold on to it over the last decade or whatever. But beyond that, didn't cost you much.
Collections cost a lot of money, and they're unnecessary, according to this list. Unless, of course, they're going to pay off dividends in the future.
Of course, right.
And the number one thing that is the most unnecessary but expensive thing in your home, according to this list, is sports exercise equipment. So you're talking about like the home gym, your bikes, your golf clubs, even your ski equipment. That's like my my Peloton treadmill that I bought during the pandemic. I waited a year and a half during the pandemic for that thing. I still pay $45 every month. I think I've gotten on it 6 times in my life.
I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You're making payments on it like your mortgage.
Still.
That's crazy.
Well, because you got to pay for the thing to keep going. I told my husband, I go, listen, it's been like 5 years. We have to make a decision here.
Right. I mean, I think you made it from the day it arrived. Nobody's been on it.
I feel like it's like one of my kids. I just have to keep paying for it every day to keep going.
You gotta carry it. It's your burden to bear.
What's the most unnecessary thing in your home that costs a lot of money, Raven?
You know what? I have to say that I was one of the first. I mean, I was literally the first person that I knew that had big screen televisions. So they're not in the house anymore at this point. But for a matter of about 8 years, I lugged these things every location that I moved. And in radio, that could be quite often. And these things were massive, 70-inch. But you remember before where it used to be like 3 feet deep?
Yes.
And it would roll out like a dresser or a cabinet? These things were massive. But I tell you, people used to walk in my apartment and be like, whoa!
Yep.
You take up half the room.
I didn't want to get rid of my first one, even though it was so outdated because we had paid so much money for
it. It was like $3,800 the first one. Yes. It was like $4,000.
It was so much money.
And that was like when $4,000 was like $20,000.
Right. What is the most unnecessary but still super expensive thing in your home right now? Top three on the list. Number three, musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
They're always sneaky expensive. Like, you have a violin. Have you ever tried to buy a violin?
Oh, yeah. And you're probably buying a fake one, but yet you're being sold it like it's huge money.
I didn't know there was a market for fake violins.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, collections. So, like, my Beanie Baby collection is clearly worth a whole lot of money.
I mean, it didn't cost you a lot. I you know, but I was thinking about, you mentioned collections. I do have a collection of stand-up full-size arcade games, and I play them twice a year. And they were, I mean, altogether, that's over $2,000.
Right. And the number one thing that's really expensive and unnecessary in your house is sports equipment. So ski equipment, your golf clubs, your treadmill, your Peloton, all of those things. Mm-hmm. What's the most unnecessarily expensive thing that you have in your house right now? Billy!
Well, I was one of the guys that actually, you know, sat in the mall in the middle of the massage chairs. And I just fell in love with the chairs. You know, got the information from the mall and actually bought one of those chairs and put it in my basement.
Those chairs are big money.
Man.
Even if you get the lowest one, it's like $1,900.
Are you talking about like the Sharper Image chairs that massage you? Is that what you're talking about?
And it like closes your arms and your legs in it and all that. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, they got them up to like $6,000.
Yeah, actually, you know, I paid like $3,500 for mine, but, you know, it was still a good deal, though, you know?
Yeah. Ocean State, you can get a crazy card for equal value for your massage chair, by the way.
Massage chairs.
Yeah, if you're interested, Anna.
If my husband brought home a $3,000 massage chair, do you use it often?
I mean, you have to sit in it. It's a large chair.
I mean, look, every Saturdays and Sundays are for that chair, man. That is what that chair is for.
All right.
You sit in the living room and watch football in that chair.
Basement.
Oh, man.
Isolation.
It's like its own spa.
Are recliners still a thing? Remember when we were growing up, every house had an automatic recliner?
I've told you what's happened with recliners. You know, I've had two recliners that I had to throw out. You know why? Because men aren't allowed to have recliners anymore.
Oh.
They're not allowed to have them. That's why this man's massage chair is in his basement. Because in general, I don't know what happened, what exact year it was, and how we gave up the power. But women got together at one point and decided that recliners no longer happening.
Yeah.
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 I wasn't
invited to that party, but I applaud the women before me that took care of it.
Here's the thing. Like, you know it happened. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad they're gone.
That was a sad day in history.
You're right.
They were
ugly. Right. Very
sad
day.
So ugly. You can't. I mean, there's not like some. Every once in a while, you'll run across a cute one, but it's a lot of money. It's not worth it.
It's not allowed anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Sam, what's the most unnecessary expensive thing that you have in your home right now?
I always knew that I needed an RV. That it was like essential for freedom, in the sense of kind of knowing that I could get away any weekend. But using it is just, I mean, it's almost impossible to get it unparked. Getting in and out of the slide at my house there, and the battery goes dead, and that's a big pain in the butt. And I thought I'd be at peace knowing it's there, but it's impractical.
You know, this is eye-opening for me, because I want an RV, Anna. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be driving all over the place, and I love to park up and set my palace wherever I go. But if you don't use things, they're terrible, terrible purchases to own. All my friends, they always say to me, you know what they say? Take mine. Borrow mine. Rent mine, whatever it may be. And I'm always like, nah, I want to have my nice new one. You know, I want to pick it out myself, all that stuff. But maybe they're right.
It's beautiful, but you can't do anything with it.
Oh, man.
It sounds like a boat. It's like everyone says about a boat until you get it. And then you get it and you're like, yep, what did I spend all this money on?
Right, right. The best days on a boat are on your friend's boat.
It's like an anchor.
So sad.
We are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
He said he was going to do it, and he did it on day one. But the big question is, can a president just change the name of stuff whenever he feels like it?
I love it. Let's go, America. Like I said before, a few weeks ago, Antarctica's just sitting there. I mean, why not put our name on that thing?
Now, here's what the news report said.
President Donald Trump signed the Restoring Names That Honor American Greatness executive order Monday. It orders the Secretary of the Interior to update all federal maps, databases, and documents with the name change within 30 days. And all federal agencies will now refer to the Gulf of America.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I mean, so there's actually maps.
Yes.
We're going to change it. We should just get, like, What is that white erase stuff that you just put on there?
Whiteout?
Yeah.
Whiteout. Let's some whiteout.
Put that right on there and then write it on there. That seems a little bit more cost effective. But all right.
I like that it's called the Restoring Names That Honor American Greatness Executive Order. I want the job to name orders, right? Restoring Names That Honor American Greatness Executive Order. That's what we're going to call it.
Is anybody listening? Antarctica, we're coming for you.
But can he actually do this? Here's what the internet expert says.
The president can change the name officially for all the federal agencies in the government. He does not have the authority to change the name for everybody in the world, for Mexico or anywhere else.
You better watch out. We'll rename your country too. France, I'm talking to you. We're going to call you Croissant.
Yeah, listen, you want to sell us some stuff, right? You want us to be buying all those goods, right? Maybe we can work out a deal here, all right? Maybe you don't like the new name. Maybe we can lower some costs. But if you don't, you know what? We're going to keep the name right where it is. Thank you very much.
But this was the one that had a lot of people scratching their heads, Raven.
Mm. We will restore the name. A great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs.
Okay, so people are confused about this.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Denali in Alaska is America's tallest peak.
Right.
Now, it was named Mount McKinley after the Obama administration in 2015 renamed it to honor the indigenous heritage of Mount Denali.
Okay, so wait a minute. Originally, you know, the indigenous people of the area called it Denali.
Yes, and they still did for hundreds of years.
Right, because they were like, who's this McKinley guy? Who
even
cares?
So, right. President McKinley had no ties to Alaska whatsoever. But in 1896, there was a gold prospector. His name was William Dickey. And to honor McKinley, who was, he was an advocate of the gold standard.
Okay.
He renamed the mountain Mount McKinley.
All right, well, there was plenty of gold over there.
Now, all the indigenous people that lived there never called it that.
Right.
They just didn't, Mount Denali means the tall one. Right. That's what it means.
Like if you're a blowfish right now in the Gulf of America, you're probably not going to call it Gulf of America because you still believe it's the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, you do what you want.
I understand.
And that's right. Why he's renaming. So this is also a snub at President Obama more than anything, saying like nobody asked for all these name changes. Like nobody asked for it. It's basically just, hold on, let me read it again.
Listen, every administration does this. Let's not act like Obama didn't do this to Bush and,
yes.
Other people, they come in and they undo the things that the people before them did that they didn't like. So
the Restoring Names That Honor American Greatness Executive Order. I don't know. To me, that's just so awesome.
I need a new map, I guess.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to need a new map.
Let's see if this actually works. Researchers in Germany spent 20 minutes reading kids' fairy tales that involved magical fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
And what they found was that the kids were eating more veggies. So if you have a child that refuses to eat healthy foods like fruits and vegetables, like I do, I have a 6-year-old that has never, ever eaten a vegetable in her life, no matter how much I've begged and tried and did every trick in the book, this might be for you.
You tell them stories.
Yep. So if you read them fairy tales, you're talking about little kids, like not teenagers, little tiny kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the hero was saved by eating magical fruits and vegetables, they said it would most likely have them want more fresh produce as a snack and would eat it.
Top of your head, heroes that have been saved or powered by fruits and vegetables. Popeye is the only one that comes to mind for me.
I don't have any that come to mind, honestly. But I decided to put this to the test.
Yeah.
Dakota, you want me to tell you a fairy tale?
Yeah.
There once was a beautiful princess. Can you guess what her name was?
Dakota.
Yes. But Dakota got herself in a pickle. You know what she did?
What?
She fell down a hole, and the hole was super deep. How do you think she got out of the hole?
Like climbing?
No, she doesn't know how to climb.
Maybe she fly?
No, she doesn't know how to fly, honey.
Oh,
but
man.
Guess what? Speaking of flying, you know what's at the bottom of the hole?
A pickle, and she can use the pickle to, like, get up.
Not a pickle. It was magic flying broccoli. And if she ate the magic flying broccoli, she could fly out of the hole. What do you think about that?
That's, like, a good idea.
So what do you think she ate?
Well, magic broccoli, but it was gonna make her be able to fly for the rest of her life.
Right.
Forever.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Now you're gonna eat this magic flying broccoli, and good news, you can fly. Now, I had my concerns because I know my daughter. My 6-year-old is one of those fearless kids where if she believes that she ate magic flying broccoli.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's going to take a shot.
She's going to jump off a roof if given the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was willing to roll those dice to see if she would actually eat. So now this was a couple hours before I went home and I made dinner for everybody. And sure enough, we had the magic broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And it push came to shove. Was she going to eat it?
Okay, it's time to try the magic broccoli. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Eat it. You like it?
Yeah.
Why is it hanging out of your mouth like that? You have to chew it and eat it. Why'd you take it out?
I don't know.
You just eat it like regular food, honey.
No.
You don't want it?
No.
But can you just try it? You put it in your mouth for like a second and then you spit it out. You want to try it again?
No.
Now, this sounds like a failure to most people.
Yeah.
But to this mom, that is a massive win.
The fact that you even got it half in her mouth.
The fact that she put it in her mouth, even if she spit it out, the fact that she put it in her mouth where she didn't pierce her lips shut, where I couldn't get anything in, to me, that was a massive victory. That was huge.
Outside observer here, just, you know, again, an observation is she sounds completely miserable about it. But she did it.
She did it. She did it.
Maybe you should have just embraced the fact that she at first wanted to climb out of the well with a pickle. Does she like pickles?
She's never had a pickle either. She won't try it. It is not easy at my house. And the fact that we had a piece of broccoli in her mouth, even though she immediately spit it out, I will take that as a win. Tonight, I'm going to talk about asparagus that make you do backflips. That's what's going to happen tonight.
Okay.
It's an interesting question. Where do you go? You have a big, big fight, a big breakup. It's that moment where you walk out the door and that relationship you are in with your spouse, your significant other, or your partner is over. Where do you go to sleep? If you missed it, during the couples court yesterday, you know, this couple was having an argument because his friend showed up on their doorstep and she was like, I don't want him here. But right. Where do you go? Have you ever had a situation like that, Raven?
I was married before, before I met my wife now. So when that first time happened, I actually the first night went and slept at the station.
Right? Radio station?
Yeah, I mean, I had a job to do the next day anyways, right? But it's terrible when you're leaving your house and you're leaving with an air mattress under your arm, like, and not much else.
And you don't know where to go.
You're just like, yep, time to go, right? And it was wintertime, so sleeping in the car didn't seem like a good option at that point. So it was just kind of like, yep, okay, I'm going to go to work.
Station is actually a really, because, you know, we have key cards. We just come in whenever we want. Mm-hmm. We're around the clock here most times anyway. So what's the difference? That's actually not a bad idea.
And the building's open 24 hours, which is good. At the same time, like, you don't want to be asleep at the studio chair when the staff for the next day walks in. I was not doing mornings at the time. So.
I'm looking at our Facebook page. My ex moved into his buddy's basement. Well, I could see that very easily happening. Yeah. I had a girlfriend knock on my door and say, I need a place to stay, that she had just left her husband. And it was fine. It was nice. I think, like, your friend is the logical answer, but sometimes you don't have a friend. Somebody wrote on our text line, the first time I moved in with a coworker. They must be a good coworker. Yeah. You must be really close with them because, I have to say, if anybody here came to my house, I'd be like, of course you can stay here. I guess I understand that, too.
Listen, staying for a night or two or whatever, that's one thing. You know, of course, anybody that you know or have an association with, you're going to try and help out. Somebody moving in is a different situation.
Right. Luke, was it a divorce or a breakup?
It was a breakup. I went through a really rough breakup. We'd been dating for a couple years, and I went down the street and paid for a hotel room by myself, but I didn't end up sleeping. I just stayed up all night watching the television, like just the local news. It was really sad.
Yeah, that's a bummer. When you're upset like that, it is hard to sleep, right? You know, at least when you go to like somebody else's house, a friend's house or whatever, there's a certain amount of security and comfort. The hardest part is knocking on the door and admitting like, this is where it's at. This is what's going on. I'm stuck here.
Just walking into a hotel with the clothes on your back. Being like, I need a room. So sad. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. What's the best part of that scenario?
Nothing.
Right?
If you're working the counter and a guy just walks in by himself and he's like, I need a room, and he's all sad and he has nothing with him, you think he's either going to do something illegal or he just got thrown out. Those are it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, right? That's why they have those free toothbrush kits there.
Yeah.
It's just like jail. I mean, it's better than sitting in the rain. On a park bench, I guess.
Listen to this text we just got. One of my friends, Sandy, she's a police officer. So we're talking about when you get kicked out of a house, you've broken up with your boyfriend, your spouse, your significant other, whatever it is. Where do you go? Because the most logical answer is to a friend's house. But what if you don't have a friend? But Sandy texted, unfortunately for homeowners, if you allow a person, whether it's a friend or a family member, to live in your house for a month or more and they receive mail, they have established residency. Then you can't kick them out. You have to start an eviction process.
So don't let your buddy crash for 30 days.
No, you got 28 days. And don't even think about sending your mail here.
I'm more comfortable with 24 hours.
Lorena, was it a breakup or a divorce? What happened?
It was a divorce. I went back to church. My home church, I slept on the pew. I had nowhere to go. And, you know, they say Jesus' house is always your house. So that's where I went.
Doors always open.
Yeah. That's actually, I wonder how often that happens.
Oh, it happens a lot.
Right.
When churches are known to be open, all the time it happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's something welcoming about it.
Well, the next day, you know you're going to get fed. You know if you need clothes, they're going to get them for you. Yeah, you'll be right as rain.
That's good.
They're going to stand you up. You're going to feel like you got a whole crew. If you need somebody to intervene, oh, forget it.
And you got God, so yeah. That works
well,
out.
He's there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got your back. He's got your back.
Deanna, how about you? Were you getting divorced or did you break up with the person?
I broke up with the person. It just was more a matter of, you know, me deciding that I needed to leave and him saying that it was too much for him. But he told me I could stay. I didn't have to leave, but he was conflicted himself. So I just was like, I got to get out. So, yeah, I did leave.
And where did you go?
I went back to be with my family for a while.
I mean, the family, doesn't matter. 3 a.m. If you ain't got the key, and I still have a key for my parents' house, don't you?
Of course I do.
Of course. Yeah. Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, you just stroll on in. You might have to announce it if you're showing up at 3 a.m. Mom, Dad, I know you're probably asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Don't anybody hit me with anything.
I'm fine. I just got dumped.
Right. I'm fine. I'm getting a divorce. Yeah. And, right. I've got the kids with me and we're all crying, but.
Go back to bed.
You know, your mom's going to come down and bake you something.
I'm about to say. Actually, I need a snack.
You go back to your parents and they're always like, okay, let me just ask, who was the first of your parents to be like, never liked him?
Well, actually, neither of them were like that. They both liked him.
Oh.
So they assumed it was you. If something happened in my marriage,
yeah.
Right? God forbid, my parents would completely blame me.
No kidding.
100%.
Wow.
It would be that I did something wrong because he is the golden child and he's not even actually their child.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
If you feel like the social media golden age is over, you are not alone. There's been a lot of talk about what's been going on lately. Why does it feel so different? Mm. What's going on and why is Meta blocking some hashtags? And if you woke up this morning and all of a sudden you realize you follow President Trump and Vice President Vance on social media and you didn't subscribe to them, you're not alone. So it's been a weird couple days on social media. It all started with the TikTok going down on Sunday for 12, 14 hours and then coming back up and doing a whole lot of praise towards President Trump.
It's amazing. There's a savior in the sky.
I have to tell you, as a creator myself, it's been a weird landscape lately, but I wouldn't say it has anything to do with just the last week or so. I would say this has been happening over the last couple months.
Okay.
The hashtags haven't been working the same like they used to. Meta is admitting that there's some things that they've blocked and they're working on it. I don't know necessarily what that means.
Okay.
There's a lot of changes taking place. And it's true. Producer Julie came in earlier today and she's like, I woke up this morning and I follow all these politicians and I didn't follow them yesterday and she follows them and I went to go check on mine and I don't, which is weird because neither of us ever follow politicians. And so why are some accounts being selected to follow these politicians while others are not? It's very strange.
Yeah. Okay. So what else is happening? So they're just adding accounts or?
So they're adding people. Now, Meta says
that Facebook is doing this.
Facebook and Instagram, Meta.
Really?
Yeah. So what they're saying is that they always do this, that whenever there's a presidential change, you'll automatically, if you follow the old POTUS, you're going to follow the new POTUS,
okay.
Which makes a ton of sense. But what people are saying is, I don't follow politics at all, which is exactly what Julie said. And now they are.
It's a big conspiracy.
So much.
Mind control, Anna.
And people, I will say that my videos and my reels are not getting a ton of views and likes, and it's not just because they stink.
Get to work today, Zuckerberg. Yeah. That's enough of these inauguration balls. Get out here and get to work.
Well, there's a lot of say now that it's being manipulated because, you know, if you think about it, all of a sudden, Zuckerberg and they're all sitting side by side with President Trump. So what are the changes? And TikTok is praising him. So what's going to happen in the future for social media?
What's interesting to me is that they're all sitting next to each other. Right. Like, I feel like before there was a lot more adversarial, you know, reaction. Yes, they stand for kind of the same things, these social media networks. But I feel like they were never near each other. And now all of a sudden they're like grouped together like a clique.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens to social media. But also trending, does your perception of a person influence whether you'll buy their product? Listen to this.
You have the first annual drop in deliveries ever for Tesla. There's your first year-over-year decline. The question now becomes, what do we expect for 2025? Remember, Elon Musk indicated that, look, I think that sales could go up or deliveries could go up by as much as 20 to 30% as they roll out lower-priced models.
Tesla dropped 26% last year, $43 billion. And the question that people have, is it because of Elon Musk? And people have become very polarized by him as he's become more famous and in the public eye? Or is it just because Teslas are ugly?
Well, I think that some people are polarizing, right? And some people will buy products based on how they feel about somebody that's running a company, especially if they feel like, you know, they're doing things that are not good overall. Like, you can have an idea that doesn't land with you. But, it, you know, on the other hand, everybody has one now, too. Right. So they caught up on delivery. I feel like Teslas are very popular. I see them all over the place. At some point, people are going to be like, I don't need a new one this year.
You're either into it or you weren't into it. And if you were, you got one already. There is some truth to that. But can he continue to evolve? We'll see. But if you are driving a Toyota or a Mercedes, congratulations, because you have one of the top two most valuable car brands of the year. I don't know if this was a good idea.
Oh, come on.
Okay, we're going to break a Guinness World Record, and you get to choose which one it's going to be. Yesterday, if you missed it, each of us, Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, and I came up with an idea for a world record, and we put it out to you. And for the last 24 hours, you've been voting on which one you think we should do. Let's recap what the options were. Raven, you go first.
The record for eating Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is 8 in 1 minute, and I thought to myself, that's child's play. I thought to myself, I can do a minimum of 9. I would shoot for 10 in 1 minute. That's 6 seconds
especially
per.
Especially if they're the mini ones.
I wonder if I could stack them and eat them too. I really got to get into the rules. If I could stack them, this thing's over.
All right, Julie, how about you? What was yours?
Mine was the most socks that you can put on 1 foot in 30 seconds. And the record is 28.
And you are confident that we could put more socks on our feet?
I mean, I have a small foot, and there's big socks out there. We could make this easy.
Okay.
Right.
All right, Justin.
Be like a boot for her. Right.
Justin, what was yours?
Mine was drinking 500 milliliters of water as fast as possible. The current record is 2.35 seconds. It's 16.9 ounces.
Now, I have to be honest. When I heard all of these, I was like, all right, like, these are all things we can do, but these are individual projects. These are, one of us has to be selected to do it. And so not collectively as a group would we be named in the Guinness World Records. So I suggested that the record right now for the most people doing the Running Man in one place is 660 people, and it was achieved by a junior high school in Japan. And I figured we could do that. I would have to teach many people how to do the Running Man. But I was relatively certain that we could do it and we could get more than 660 people together.
I mean, okay.
All right, but Julie, you've been the one that's been tallying all the texts and the emails and the social media, and you have that piece of paper
folded. I have
folded.
The official letter. Here we go. We will be doing mine.
Oh.
We will be putting on the most socks
all
in
right.
30 seconds.
I love it!
Now, when you selected this...
She didn't select it. The people selected
it.
No,
I know. But when she selected that as her option, have you ever tried to put multiple socks on 1 foot?
No, but like I said, I've put socks on every day. Yeah. Right. I got tiny feet.
A lot of practice. Yeah. You got tiny feet? Right.
Yes, Justin.
You also have tiny hands, too, though. Is that going to help? Or? Oh, gosh.
So many questions. Maybe the Guinness people can answer. Do you have to... Like, if you have a, let's say you have a pair of socks rolled up, do you have to unroll them yourself
unfurl
and put
it
on each one?
No.
Can someone hand you each sock individually
That's
so
what
you can just, like, an automatic feeder kind of
we
thing?
We can get strategic with how we lay them out and prep them. Maybe we stretch them out.
Yes,
before.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a new pair of socks, like, you're pulling it on and then doing that over another sock.
They also make, like, those little socks, like the little fake ones for, like, when you're wearing a flat.
Yeah, the ballet ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of research on socks that we have to do.
Yeah.
And we also have reached out to the Guinness World Record people. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for their response. And when we do, we will tell them that this is what we've selected. We need the official rules.
Right.
And I guess we practice because I think this is something we should have tried. The one thing, you've never tried to put 30 socks on 1 foot. I've done the Running Man. Not that I'm bitter. But I spent the greater part of the last 30 years like performing it at weddings, get-togethers, random bars and clubs. But that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at all.
I'm going to bring chocolate that day, too. Like, I mean, nothing's going to stop me. So,
all right, Raven, how about this? Tomorrow?
You just, can do it on it.
No, not tomorrow.
Just for the heck of it.
Not tomorrow. I have to stretch. I need exercise.
You have to stretch your mouth. You have to stretch your mouth around a Reese's peanut butter cup. I'll let you do it tomorrow just so we can see if you can accomplish it. How about that?
All right.
I'll bring the Reese's.
All right. Yeah. All right.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Anna and Raven. Mason and Nicole. Okay, Nicole, how long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating for about 9 months.
Okay, and what's going on?
So it's hard for me to introduce my kids to any man because I've been, you know, trying to keep that under wraps until it's official. And I have introduced Mason to my kids and they seem to love him and everything is fine. So it's a good thing. But now he wants to go on a vacation on a ski trip and wants me to bring the kids. Even though, they do get along, I feel like it's a little too soon.
Okay. How old are the kids?
11 and 14.
Mm-hmm. Mason, what's your side of this?
Yeah. So basically my side is, very similar. Everything that is going on between me and Nicole and the kids are amazing. I feel like the relationship is really, really going places. And I really actually see a future with her. And personally for me, I think that 9 months is a good time for me to, I guess, go on a trip. I already met with the kids. We have a great relationship. And I feel like that would just build more connection if we go on a ski trip together. And I feel like we'll get to know each other on a deeper level. And, you know, I feel like it would just be a lot of fun.
How much have you hung out with the kids? Like a couple times or several times?
Okay. I hung out with them several times. You know, I try not to... not put myself so much around the kids too much because I don't want to, I guess, be too overbearing. But I do want to, you know, make sure that the kids do know me. I'm a familiar face and they know that they could be comfortable around me as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're willing to put it on the line, I get it. Obviously, ultimately, with your kids, Nicole, the decision will come down to your feelings on it. But at the same time, like Mason, I mean, this is you putting yourself out there. Vacations can be stressful, right? Weekend getaways,
yes, absolutely.
Staying together, all that stuff. So it's a big old test. Nicole, are you more afraid that the all you guys won't make it through the test? Or are you just, you know, still feel like it's a little bit early? You feel like you got a better shot if you wait longer? What?
Well, it's two things. I think it's a little bit too early. And also, you know, if you are a single mother, you understand how hard it is to get a break. I want a vacation. I don't want a family vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, one's a trip versus one is an actual break.
That's a good question, though. Is it too soon at 9 months to be going on family trips together?
Yeah.
You know, especially for an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old where they're really, they understand everything.
Oh, of course. Right. Well, they think they do. Right. They understand a good enough part of it, and they think they understand everything.
How long do you have to be with someone when you go on your first vacation as a family with your children from your previous marriage?
I mean, that's a big leap, right? It could be scary on both sides, but to Mason's credit, that's exactly what he wants to do with Nicole and her kids, despite the fact that they've only been dating for like 9 months. Nicole, she says she's guarded with her kids.
Right. And, you know, he met her children a few months ago. Again, 9 months they've been dating. Kids are 11 and 14. He doesn't understand why they all can't go on a ski vacation together. He sees a long-term future with her. Why wouldn't they start going away together and experiencing these kind of things? What do you think? Shelly, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think this is a great opportunity for her to spend some time with her kids and her new boyfriend and get everybody to bond. He's offering out a trip for them to all be together, and I think that's a really big deal.
I mean, that's great, mm-hmm. as long as they don't break up the week after, right? Or as a result of the trip. You said the kids wouldn't be involved. Oh, gosh. Thanks for the call.
How long should you be dating somebody before you go on vacation with them with your children? That's what's going on between Mason and Nicole. They've been dating for 9 months. Just a couple months ago, he met their kids aged 11 and 14 for the first time. And now he's all on board to go on a big semi-family trip to go skiing.
Mm. Yeah, here's the thing. Nicole's a little bit gun-shy on this. She just says, listen, it still feels early to me. Vacations. Right? The first vacation, even as a couple, Anna, you can learn a lot about each other. Add the added, you know, situation with the children there, too. I don't know if it's too much to take on, but like you said, Mason, he's all for it.
Krista, whose side are you on?
Oh, I think that it's an amazing idea to go on a vacation with the kids. It just shows, like, your loyalty towards her and her children. It's not like he never met them before, and she can get a sense of what kind of guy he is, family style. But maybe she's opposed to it because that's not something that she sees in her future. And if that's not the case, then why is she even with him?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the vacations can be revealing in those ways, good and bad.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think that when you're guarded as a mother and you just you feel like everything is happening fast, and sometimes it's too good to be true. You get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You get scared. You know, you get imposter syndrome that this can't really be happening this quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can sabotage things that way, too. Hey, Lydia, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I had a very similar situation where I was dating a man and we were only dating for 19 months. And I brought my children, and we actually went out of the country. And it was nice, but when we came back, I realized I didn't want to be with him, and my kids were very upset when we broke up. So I would say you have to wait a couple years before you make a big decision like that.
Then it gets a little bit weird, too. Did he buy the trip? Whatever. Oh, gosh. Now you got to hold on to him. Oh, that's weird.
Mike, whose side are you on?
I'm on the boyfriend's side. I mean, 9 months is a significant amount of time. And these are not 2 and 3 year old children, like you said. They know what's going on. I think it's a great opportunity to take a short trip and everybody spend time together, and he can take her on a trip alone later on.
Could build trust. Right. Thanks for the call,
Thank
Mike.
You.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mason, our audience agrees with you. If you feel comfortable and you want to, and you feel like this relationship has a future and you want to get to know Nicole's children more, Nicole, if you're comfortable enough, then go ahead. Maybe you get separate rooms. Maybe you don't all stay together. Maybe you make modifications to make it more comfortable. But I think you start doing things as a family if you feel that the relationship is going in that direction.
Okay.
It's an interesting option, right? To do separate rooms. You know, that way the kids still feel like the boundaries are being respected, but you're all there spending time together. I think that's a really good aspect to consider. Mason, you got the votes. Here we go.
Yes, let's go.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$5,700 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven, powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains now through the 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Mary, are you going to win all this money today?
I'm going to try.
All right, let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. $5,700. Good luck, Mary.
All right. Mary, let's wait for him to walk out because that big door has got to close so he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Same questions he'll get asked. Whoever gets the most right wins. You only have 3 seconds to answer each one. Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay, remember, ties go to Raven. Number one, President Trump announced a plan to put Americans on Mars during the inauguration. What 2015 movie is about an astronaut played by Matt Damon that was left on Mars?
Not sure.
Number two, rumors are that Carrie Underwood was upset that she wasn't given the same star power during her inauguration performance as Beyonce or Lady Gaga when they performed at inaugurations. Lady Gaga performed at which president's inauguration?
Obama.
Number three, Netflix is raising their prices again. The standard ad-free version will go up by $2.50 a month. The most watched movie of all time on Netflix was Red Notice, starring Ryan Gosling, The Rock, and what superhero actress?
I know it's...
It's time. Number four, Borderlands, Joker 2, Madame Web, and Reagan lead the nominations of the awards for the worst movies of the year. What's the name of the awards that names the most terrible movies of the year? The winners are always announced the day before the Oscars.
SAG Awards?
And number five, Kanye West is helping his 11-year-old daughter, North, record her debut album. And he says, the little girl made me love music again. What's the name of the famous debut studio album that Kanye released?
College Dropout.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo!
Mary got one.
Oh! $5,700. Maybe they're really tough. Let's see how I do.
They are tricky. Number one, President Trump announced a plan to put Americans on Mars during the inauguration. What 2015 movie is about an astronaut played by Matt Damon that was left on Mars?
Oh, that's The Martian.
The Martian. Yeah, it won a lot of awards. Number two, rumors are that Carrie Underwood was upset that she wasn't given the same star power during her inauguration performance as Beyonce or Lady Gaga when they performed at inaugurations.
You know what? Carrie Underwood shined.
She did. And I don't necessarily believe that. I could see where she was just upset that, like, nothing worked. She didn't have a stage, all that.
Well, right.
I don't
There's
think
no
she complained.
Stage. It's not outside. Right. Like, I don't think that's a hissy fit. She probably goes, okay, we're going right here. All right.
Lady Gaga performed at which president's inauguration?
Well, Beyonce did Obama, so I'm going to say President Biden.
Biden is correct. Number three, Netflix is raising their prices again. The standard ad-free version will go up by $2.50 a month. The most watched movie of all time on Netflix was Red Notice, starring Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, and what superhero actress?
Is that Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Borderlands, Joker 2, Madame Web, and Reagan lead the nominations of the awards for the worst movies of the year. What's the name of the awards that names the most terrible movies of the year? Now, the winners are always announced the day before the Oscars.
It's the Razzies.
The Razzies. Number five, Kanye West is helping his 11-year-old daughter, North, record her debut album. And he says, the little girl is making me love music again. What was the name of his famous debut studio release?
Was it College Graduate?
No. The College Dropout.
Oh, right!
The one you got wrong was the one that she got right, Mary.
Oh, no!
4-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
How could I not remember?
Thank you.
That?
I'm Mary, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt,
Thank
girl.
Thank you.
$5,800 tomorrow, Anna.